If we truly want revival, we're going to have to see a change. Revival comes, it means that something was alive before, and there's been a change that's happened to revive it. And I'm thankful for the change that Jesus makes in our life. I think we mentioned a few weeks ago, and Cal mentions it often, a man they grew up with at Union Free Will Baptist used to say, "No change, no Jesus." And I certainly agree with that. And the change starts from the inside and it works its way out. That's the way it works. And God does a work on the inside through his blood and through the power of the Holy Ghost to change us and set us free. I will say this, sometimes the change is more dramatic for others. Those of us that were saved at an early age, we didn't have a lot to change, but there was still a change. There was still a change. You say, what was the change? The change was somebody lives in our heart now that didn't live there before. And that's the change. For those of you that lived a life of sin and you would say that you were ashamed and of your past, where God has brought you from, but there was a change when Jesus came into your life. Brother Bob Pelfrey, I don't want to embarrass him, but we've spent a lot of hours in the car together driving, and he would testify so often of when he got saved and his conversion experience. And he said, "No one had to tell me what I had to do or what not to do. The Holy Spirit changed me." Amen. We'd be a lot better off just letting the Holy Spirit do its work. But there's a woman in John chapter 4. We've preached about her. You've sung about her. You've heard about her. But there was a change that happened in her life. I want to start with verse 27 and read to you three verses very quickly tonight before we share with you and before the youth share with you what they have for tonight. Verse 27 of John chapter 4 says this, "And upon this came his disciples and marveled that he talked with the woman. Yet no man said, 'What seekest thou?' or 'Why talkest thou with her?' The woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city and saith to the men, 'Come see a man which told me all that I ever did. Is not this the Christ?'" Is not this the Christ? I think it's amazing you see the change that even happened in this chapter. First of all, when she met this man, he was first a Jew. Second, as the story goes on, he becomes a prophet. But then by the end of the story, he's the Christ. That's what happens when the change comes. You'll find out exactly who Jesus Christ is. This woman who was held hostage by her past. We know the story. She comes to a well. And when she comes to the well, at the time when she came to the well, no other ladies came to the well at this time, but she came at this appointed time. Why? Because she was not well liked by the ladies, and you know that as well as I do. So she came not to want to cause any trouble, I guess, or maybe she was ashamed of the past that she had lived and life that she was currently living at that time. So she came to the well at an odd time, but it was the perfect time for her. Because when she got to that well, she met a well. Hallelujah. And when she met the well of living water, she left as a well of information and went back into town telling everybody about the change that had happened in her life. And I just want to say tonight, I'm thankful for the change. And you ought to be thankful for the change. When you met the man, when you met the man, Jesus Christ, when you met him that changed your life forever, you remember that time. You remember that moment. You may remember the time when he first drew you, but then when you finally surrendered your life to him and you knew there was a difference, you knew something had happened. Bless God, I'm still thankful. I've never gotten over the fact that he's changed me. And if you ever get over that, my friend, you need another trip just to revive the works and revive the joy in your heart, because we should be here now till we go to heaven and still praising him for the change that has happened in our life. I'm thankful for that change. Her story had changed. And so we find that in order for there to be a change, some things has to happen. And the things that happen in her life is the same things that have to happen in our life in order for there to be a change. Number one, I want you to notice this. In order for there to be a change, there has to be a conversation with Christ. There has to be a conversation with Christ. We knew she came to the well at the time when it was a time that she only came to the well by herself. But we know that Jesus went out of his way and he says, I must needs go to Samaria. And when he went out of his way, well, he didn't really go out of his way. He had the mission on his mind, and the mission was to meet this woman and to change her life. And when he got there, he sat on Jacob's well and she met him. Now, can you imagine when she met him and saw this man sitting on the well and she thought, oh no, what's this gentleman wanting? I've never seen him before. And then now he wants to strike up a conversation with me. And as the conversation goes along, you'll notice that he had a conversation about her ways. Because he, you know, Jesus always knows how to talk to you. It's one thing to talk to God, and I believe we are admonished to pray to him. But listen, sometimes we think prayer is one-way communication. But true prayer is not one-way communication. True prayer is when we shut up and let Jesus talk to us. And it's one thing for us to talk to God, and we should. But bless God, when he starts talking to us, business begins to pick up, and a change begins to take place. So when he starts talking, he gets to the bottom of her problems and starts talking about her ways, and he gets to the heart of it and says, you know what, you know he unveils everything that happened in her life and says, you know, why don't you go call your husband. Got down to the point where she needed to be, and she said this wonderful line, and I always like this: sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. You seem to know something about me that maybe I don't even know about myself. But yes, you've answered correctly, he said, because the one you're with now is not even your husband, and you've already had others before that. So we know the truth. And not only did they have a conversation about her ways, they had a conversation about her worship. Because once he got to the heart of the matter, it's like so many people we meet. When you begin to talk to them about the Lord, they want to start talking about the weather. They want to start talking about NASCAR. They will start talking about other things to try to get off the subject of what really needs to happen. This woman says, you know what? I'm not even supposed to be talking to you. You say we need to worship here. We say we need to worship here. And he says, listen, it's not about where. It's not about what. It's about who you worship. He got to the heart of the matter, and they began to have a conversation. And after the conversation, he said, ma'am, if you knew who I was, you'd be asking me for some water. Oh, and she says, sir, if you want some water, you don't have anything to draw with. Oh, I can hear Jesus say, I didn't come to draw, but I came to pour into your life. Aren't you glad when you met him? Thank God he poured a well of living water in your soul. And that change happened, when you began to have a conversation with him. The songwriter put it this way: I once was lost in sin, but Jesus took me in. And then a little light from heaven filled my soul. He bathed my heart in love, and he wrote my name above, and just a little talk with Jesus made me whole. It still works today, folks. I appreciate the fact that if you want to change, you're trying to go here and there and trying to find counseling or trying to find something that'll help you to change and to get a change in your life. And I appreciate you working hard at trying to get the change. But listen, the real change in your life will never happen until you start talking to Jesus and get down to the truth. Find out who you really are and admit who you really are. You are nothing without him, and you need him in order to be a change. I'm talking about a real change. You need to have a conversation with Christ. Secondly, you need to cast your cares on him. Look at what it said. It said, the woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city. Now we read over that sometimes and we think, well, that doesn't mean too much. Oh yeah, it means a lot. Because that water pot meant a lot to her. In fact, the water pot represented who she was. The water pot represented everything that she could hold. Her entire life was held inside that water pot. But thank God, when she finally met the man, Jesus Christ, and when she finally got a change, she left the water pot because she found out what he was pouring into her soul she couldn't hold with just a water pot. Hey, aren't you glad when he poured something into your life, you found the things of this world couldn't hold what he was giving you? Hallelujah. And she wasn't so much shouting about what she got. She was shouting about what she left behind. I'll run over that one more time because that's good. You didn't catch that. She wasn't shouting so much of what she got. She was shouting about what she left behind. And some of you tonight are shouting by who you got. You got Jesus and your life's been changed, but some of you are shouting not so much who you got, but you're shouting about what you left behind. I, for one, fit that category. I was saved at a young age. I didn't have a lot to leave behind, but thank God when I got him in my life, I left a lot of sadness. I left a lot of turmoil. I left a lot of distress and trouble. I left it all behind. I didn't lose a thing. Thank God I'm shouting tonight, not so much of who I got, I'm shouting about what I left. You got to be thankful about the cares you've left behind. Hallelujah. And if you're going to have a change, you need to be willing to have a conversation with Christ. You need to be willing to cast your cares upon him. And then finally, I want you to notice this. You can't conceal your conversion. You can't conceal your conversion. Some folks say, I'm a born-again child of God. But you must be part of the Secret Service. Because if you are, you haven't told anybody about it. If Jesus, now I think I have Bible for this. In fact, I know I have Bible. If you truly say you're changed and you're born again, you'll tell somebody. For with the mouth, confession is made unto, thank you. Over here, they knew it. Over here, I'll say it again. For with the mouth, confession is made unto, thank you. Got some Bible readers over here. For with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. Even the thief on the cross, in his dying moment, confessed that Jesus Christ was the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. Whether it's a squeeze of a hand, as Jamie has experienced so many times, a blink of an eye, or some sort of acknowledgement, there was a confession made in order for there to be a change. And you cannot conceal what Christ has done in your heart if you truly want to be changed. You can't see this. This looks like a driver's license, but it's not a driver's license. Some of you will look at that. It's hard to see. But it's got my picture on it. It could really pass for almost like I'm a member of law enforcement, but I'm not. It's got a star on it. But this is a concealed carry permit. This is a license that I carry with me along with a firearm. I don't have it on me right now, I promise. But in Ohio, you are legal. You are legally allowed. Now, let me finish. You are legally allowed to open carry a firearm. You say, well, what's that mean, Brian? That means you are legally allowed to strap a firearm to your side as long as people can see it and you can walk down the sidewalk. Now, do I suggest you doing that? Absolutely not. But you can. It's legal. But in order to conceal the firearm, you have to have a license. Some places, like this church for one, it's posted. You're not allowed to carry a firearm inside these premises unless you have permission. And if you say, do I have permission? You probably don't. We have a security team that takes care of all that. You have no idea in this church who's part of our security team. But they do, and they know where you're sitting, and I promise you, you are safe. The safest place you'll ever be is right here inside this house of God. Amen. I'm just saying. And I appreciate our security team. While you're in here, they're watching out for us all around this place to make sure you're safe and your kids are safe. Amen? Amen. It's sad we have to do that, but we have to do that, and we are doing that. But anyway, let me get back to what I was saying. Concealed carry permit. I got to have a permit. I got to have a license to allow me to conceal a firearm. Now, if I get pulled over, well, let me say this. When I get pulled over, right? Evidently, I'm a terrible driver. So, when that happens, I have a responsibility. Now listen to me. From the outside, as soon as that cop runs my tag, he knows what's concealed on the inside. He already knows. But it's my responsibility. When he approaches that vehicle, here's what I'm supposed to do. I'm supposed to reach my hands out, and I'm supposed to say, "Sir, I have a concealed carry permit, and the firearm, wherever it's located, I have to tell them where it's located." And they'll say, "Yeah, I already know, but I appreciate you telling me and revealing to me what you are concealing." And folks, we have a church world, we have a world, rather, that's walking around. Some of your friends and closest co-workers have no idea that you are a child of God. You know why? Because you haven't revealed what you're concealing. And if you want a change in your heart, and if you want to see a change in your workplace, if you want to see a change in your family, you cannot be ashamed to go and tell the world, "Come see a man that has showed me all that I ever did. Is not this the Christ?" Hallelujah. You notice she didn't say, "Look at me." No, she said, "Come see a man. Let me show you the change that has happened in my life." She pointed people to Jesus. And when Jesus is on the inside, we cannot be ashamed to reveal what he's done in our heart. Don't conceal your conversion. Don't be afraid to share what Christ has done for you. Young people, come and get ready. You know who you are that need to come. Don't be afraid to share your testimony. Do you realize sitting in our pews, every single pew, there's a miracle in that pew. Every single pew, every spot in this pew, every person under the sound of my voice tonight, you have a testimony of God's wonder-working power. If you're saved tonight, you have a great testimony of how Jesus has changed you. But some of you have lived long enough and you've been through some stuff in your life and you've got testimony that God is not only the saving Jesus, but he's a keeping Jesus, and he's a way-making Jesus, and he's a miracle-working Jesus, and he's a healer Jesus, he's a provider Jesus. I'm telling you, we cannot be ashamed to show the world what he's done in our lives.